Blog Talk Radio.
A child within. I found my child within today, for many years so locked away. Loving, embracing, needing so much. If only I could reach and touch. I didn't know this child of mine. We were never acquainted at 3 or 9. But today I felt crying inside. I'm here, I shouted. Come inside. We hugged each other ever so tight as feelings emerged of hurt and fright. It's okay, I sobbed. I love you so. You are so precious to me. I want you to know, my child, you are safe today. You will not be abandoned. I'm here to stay. We laughed. We cried. It was a discovery. This was warm, loving. Loving child is my recovery. Evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to Personal Transformation. I'm broadcasting live. Well, obviously, I'm not broadcasting sitting live from the gatehouse tonight, but I am abroad, and I am here tonight a little later than I wanted to start, but given the day as it laid out, that's just the way it happened. So good evening, folks, and thanks for joining me. And if you join me later on at another time, that's great, too. Thank you for joining me. I am not here I'm not here offering you my opinion on telling you what you should do. So in other words, what I'm trying to tell you is I'm not a doctor, a therapist, or anything of the sort like that. I would never tell you what to do. I'm only offering my own experiences and my time in the gatehouse in my own recovery, in my healing experience from childhood sexual abuse is what I talk about. But, folks, I would never tell you what to do. And if I do something and you seem intrigued by it, whether it be something I've done in, you know, in regards to cognitive behavioral therapy and so, some sort of way or whatever, and you find that you might be interested in it, I would definitely consult with somebody. Or if you feel safe enough to go ahead and try it. But all I'm saying is I'm not here to tell you what to do. And my experiences are my experiences. And I think I'm clear and done with that now. But you get the right idea that I'm not here to tell you what to do. Folks, it is 2019. My 261st episode. And I'm still going. I'll be celebrating 5 years come May, which is not far away. And for the whole time that I've been doing this, I've been talking about childhood sexual abuse and my recovery and others. I've had many, many guests come in, both therapists, speaking of therapists. I've had therapists come in. I've had other survivors come in, not just from both genders, because both genders need to come in and talk about this stuff. Both sides need to talk about this stuff. It's not just one side, it's both sides. And the sooner we come together and talk about this and stand together as one, well, then hopefully maybe some things will start changing. That's just my opinion, and I'm going to stick with it. But that's what I believe, and I believe changes are coming. People are listening more than they ever have before. I've been doing this social media thing for a long time, and I'm just using social media as an example, never mind in the outside world. Well, that is kind of the outside world. What am I talking about? But nevertheless, I see a movement growing, and people are getting just so fed up. It's in their face every day. It's just nonstop. Things have to change, and maybe this will be the year that something may get started to change. There's enough people voicing now. Probably if a few more started, I'm sure things will start moving along even better. But the more come out and talk about this and, talk about what it's done to them and how it's, made their life crazy and, whether it be with themselves or a family member or somebody they know, well, this is very, very important. And, it's not just about childhood sexual abuse either. It's about domestic violence. There's all kinds of things that are kind of put together here. I'm trying to make a little bit of sense here to this, but it's hard to make sense of all this stuff that's going on because there's so much of it. And to keep track of it is really, really hard too as well. I have to admit that as well. But nonetheless, I stand here, or rather I'm sitting here now, but I'm talking about this and I'm advocating about this. Well, I'm I am very, very committed to this, and I have been for a long time. And I'm looking forward to the year for what it has in store. Looking forward to the guests I'm going to have coming on the show. I'll have more survivors coming on, talking about their stories, their healing journeys. I will definitely have more clinical people coming on, talking therapists, where we can interact with other people through social media, talking about things through their healing recovery. Everything from being angry to your inner child, like I'm talking about tonight, to self-worth, addictions, sexuality, all those kinds of things we'll be talking about throughout the year. So it's going to be a very interesting year. I'm looking forward to it in all aspects, not just what I'm doing here on Blog Talk Radio or personal transformation, but I'm interested to see what the world is going to do. You know, there's all kinds of crazies and out there and all kinds of crap going on. And all I know is that people are fed up and time for change. So, folks, from the poem that I wrote to you or read to you, just read to you before I started here this evening, if you want to go on to www.serenityonlinetherapy.com, you will find this this poem that I wrote, or rather that I read, I should say. I didn't write this, but I read it to you. And I found it really endearing to me. I've read this, I have no idea how many times now over the years I've read this poem. And for some reason tonight, it just seemed to, you know, affect me. No, I'm not sitting here with tears running down my cheeks. What I mean by that is that it's, I'm looking at it and reading when after I read it. And it is only, like I said, I've only read it, I have no idea how many times, lots of times. And I actually look at it and go, wow, look, this is really, really incredible. You know, what the adult is saying to the child, or the child is saying to the adult, if you want to look at it in that perspective. And I thought that was pretty wowy. And I hear it's working. Last time I did this by myself, I was doing this, and I was talking about addictions, and I think I only went about 15 minutes, and the damn thing cut off. This is what I hate about internet radio sometimes, and what I'm doing is sometimes it works. And other times, well, I'll start talking, and I get about a quarter way through my way show, and it just drops off. Well, that's kind of unfortunate. But unfortunately, I don't have a 100-foot tower, and I'm not broadcasting through the airwaves. But then on the other hand, if I was doing that, excuse me, I would not be able to get to you everywhere throughout the world that I'm doing right now. And I'm really, really happy about that. So, folks, the inner child. We have an inner child. It is our true self, our authentic self. Many adults who suffered from abuse or who come to dysfunctional families or hide behind the false self, also called the ego. We develop this false self to protect our true self from emotional pain. The false self and stuffs, these painful feelings deep inside us, thinking that it is protecting us. We mourn the loss of our true loving self, leading us to feel chronically sad or depressed and or empty inside until we reclaim our lost child, our true self. Living in our true self requires us to feel our feelings, grieve our losses, stop denying our pain, accepting our vulnerability, becoming aware of our defense mechanisms, stop filling our emptiness with alcohol, drugs, compulsive behaviors is what I'm talking about, and turn away from codependency, focusing on others to determine on oneself. It is important to know that the inner child healing cannot be successful unless we first overcome our addictions, as what I pointed out. We need to recover the inner child to feel those feelings of sadness, anger, rage, guilt, and shame. Without addressing and dealing with these painful feelings, our childhood, we could find it hard to move on with our lives. Our emotional development freezes when we have been severely traumatized. We repeat these mistakes. We get stuck in our present, which states include ongoing feelings of loneliness, depression, anxiety, emptiness, and bad decisions. Bad relationships, codependency, addictions, compulsions, inappropriate behavior, suicidal thoughts and gestures, etc., etc., etc. Therapists are usually a little baffled by the presentation of atypical symptoms. Many individuals with distressed inner child have been diagnosed with psychiatric illnesses such as depression, attention deficit disorder, conduct disorders, anxiety disorders, disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, borderline personality disorder, bipolar disorder, and psychosis, etc., etc., etc. So, as I'm saying here, you can see there's a lot of things that could be attached to this. Now, that's how I said could be attached to this. Doesn't mean what I'm saying here advise you to do your research. There could be an accompanying from minor aches and pains to cancer, represented by emotions that are stored in the body and can manifest into serious illnesses. You know, I've talked about body pain before, and I go through this, still go through this after this time, but that's what they're talking about, like body pains and sicknesses. So basically, if you're carrying this, as an example, this thing that we had to go through, or this abuse that we had to go through as a child, and we've carried it all through adulthood and childhood, all the way through, and I've come across people that have had, you know, they've gotten really, really sick over this. I'm talking about sick from the inside is what I'm talking about. And cancer being one of them, as I've just mentioned, and other body pains and aches. Oh, I'm certainly ready for that. Thank God I haven't had the other things I've mentioned. But nevertheless, these sort of things could accompany your experience, is what I'm pointing out. It's a fact that many people have inner child issues. However, varying pain we suffer may not be completely, no matter the degree of the trauma we carry around. Excuse me. We still suffer. Only we can feel those feelings that were shut down and abandoned for so many years ago. Recognizing and allowing those feelings to surface relieves us of those internal growth, or anguish, I should say. So talking about it, what I'm saying is the real trick behind it. I know it has for me. It's made a huge difference. I couldn't imagine where I would be if I hadn't talked about this stuff yet. You know what? It's funny. You know, I'm talking about inner child, and I remember when I first went to the gatehouse back in 2011, and we started talking about inner child. I was going, what the hell are you talking about? Well, really? Well, what are you talking about? Inner child. Well, I never really looked at myself as having a so-called inner child, as they phrased it. I often phrase myself as, well, in sarcasm, obviously, as me, myself, and I, but certainly not myself and my inner child. I don't know about you out there, folks, but I certainly didn't use that terminology whatsoever, or referred to it in my past pretenses whatsoever, in any way or fashion. I may have acted out like a child and not realized that, in fact, that while that was my so-called inner child acting out to begin with, but I certainly did not realize or take any thought to the fact that, hey, I have an inner child inside me. Well, I really, you know, I'm thinking about it, I'm talking about it. I've always made reference to as just being my core or my soul or something along that line, right? And not really looking at it as being my inner child, as I figured out when I went to the gatehouse. So where the hell does that come into play in regards to my healing experience? Well, judging from what I've read to you so far, a lot of these things, I won't say all these things, and that's why I say do your research and talk to people to make sure that you're not just imagining something like I might have been doing too at the same time and realizing that, yeah, there are little bits and pieces here make a whole lot of sense to why I act and behave the way I do. And maybe you can get that same type of, well, reflection I'm getting as I'm speaking to you as I'm talking about it and realize, well, okay, well, maybe that's what's going on with me and I don't understand why I behave this way when I'm in a situation. Whether it be in a situation with your job or an intimate relationship, a friend, your own children, for heaven's sakes, a family member, a friend, who knows? Okay, it also gives the inner child, you, me, a feeling of worthlessness for recognizing and paying attention to him or her. We also need to grieve the past incidents of our trauma and abuse. Some relief is instantaneous just by talking about it. And it's just like, what I mean by that, and I can give you an example, it would be like crying, for example. And being a male that I am, I remember when I went to the gatehouse in 2011, we were doing this, and I think the only reason why, well, in this particular episode, I remember shedding some tears, but I know from others and what they explained about it is that when they just let it all go, whether it be man, that was my experience in the beginning, but I've heard this from women as well, is that when you release all that, it's like taking a ton of bricks off your back or a big bag off your back. And it's a huge, huge relief. Granted, your box of Kleenex will get a really good workout, and you know, maybe your shirt or whatever you have to dry up those tears as that are coming down, but and nevertheless, it's a release. And as I've just stated here, it's kind of like instant relief. As this is a great example of instant relief. you know, it's kind of like having a bad day even and coming home you know, you meet up with your partner and you talk about your bad day. And that, and somehow that's a relief, right, as an example. You may want to discuss this process of the inner child healing with a therapist or a mental health professional before attempting this. So as I've stated from the beginning, I'm just reminding you, all these things I'll talk about does not sort of reflect on you or me. It just gives you some examples of what you could be going through. You can't heal anyone else's inner child, nor can anybody else heal yours. That's what a codependent attempts. A codependent is a person who is so focused on needy person, like an alcoholic, drug addict, abuser, etc., they neglect their own needs. So this would be like a person worse than a people pleaser, kind of like what I'm talking about. There are many false and self-defeating beliefs that we carry from childhood that inhibit our emotional well-being. There are inaccurate thoughts and beliefs from others, such as parent or someone who we looked up to. These beliefs may also have been formed subconsciously if we were abused. Children automatically blame themselves for bad treatment they receive from their parents and others or in a position of power. What is left is a general attitude of we weren't worthy, that we don't deserve to be successful, happy, or loved, etc. That's it. Excuse me a little bit off on here, folks, because, you know, I got this flu or virus about a month and a bit ago. I'm still fighting the damn thing. So I coughed profusely a little bit, or hopefully it won't be profusely, but or to any amount, but I'll try to contain myself, and forgive me, please, for doing so. As it does not help the speech whatsoever, and really makes it really hard to understand. Healing takes place when the inner child feels safe and trusting, even to explore and express those feelings of how it felt when we were being criticized, neglected, shamed, abused, etc. It is only natural for him or her to feel scared, lonely, angry, distrustful, letting him or her know that it's safe to express his or her feelings is very, very important. The inner child needs to know that he or she will be protected. Protected will also be allowed to be vulnerable, not hidden away. We protect our inner child by establishing our clear and safe boundaries and limits on how we will let ourselves be treated by others. As children, we do not always know how to express our feelings, or we may have been punished, if we express them. Anger may have been built up inside. Anger not expressed appropriately may turn inward. Excuse me. One of those byproducts is abuse by rage, which I can relate to as a child. At the age that I was when I was first being abused, I used to get in these rage fits. Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, I've talked about this before, and I remember I was probably between the ages of 6 and 7, and I remember being in public school, and I remember being with this other child, and I think this other child might have been through the same experience that I have, but I won't say her last name, but I remember her name was Judy. This is how good my memory is. Remember, we were in school, and we were both misbehaving, and I had an outright rage attack. I was out of control, and I remember how I was punished. I was put in the closet, and the door was shut. And I remember the other person with me, which I just mentioned, Judy, we were both put in there, and the doors were shut. So when we stopped behaving like jackasses, that's when I let us out. But I do remember that like it was yesterday. I even remember the name of the teacher, too. Miss Christian. That's a pretty good memory. For a child, being the victim of abuse creates feelings of shame, guilt, and anger, and abandonment, etc. These messages of the inner child receive as you are worthless, shameful, bad, not good enough. Reparenting ourselves can be difficult at first, especially if we don't have the proper role models. Well, I'll come to the day house. That was a great example for role models, especially for my facilitators that have been through this process and went through this process of the inner child really, really well with us, explaining to us like I did to you in the beginning about what the hell is this inner child stuff? You know, there's only me, myself, and I. Well, who else could there be? We must put to shame where it belongs. Denying or limiting your abuse from responsibility and pain, they have caused you. They only sabotage and prolong the healing process. Okay, you know what? I'm going to just take one second. Just hold on 1 second here. I just want to take one look at something here. I am doing this live now, and I also posted it on Twitter, so I want to make sure I'm not missing anything I should know about. Okay, I'm not, so I'm good. And thank you, Living Abuse, for posting this for me. Okay. It is not necessary to confront our abusers or face-to-face. Writing a letter to them is safer and can be just as effective. Not only does it allow you to organize your thoughts and feelings about what happened, it gives the reader the opportunity to read again and again and again. So I tend to agree with this to quite a degree. I guess in a lot of situations, this wouldn't really be the way to go. You just go to court and do your thing, and then you read your impact statement, provided the court allows you to do so. I know in our country alone, the court systems can be a little strange in that fact, because I know that even from domestic violence, people that I've known that have gone to court and wanted to read an impact statement, and they would have it pre-written already, as I'm talking about here, and what they would do is they would only allow you, so they would censor it, is what I'm trying to say. So the court system is pretty strange that way, but I know when you're reading an impact statement, and this is kind of like what you're doing here, is you're writing this down about what you're feeling, about what your abuser did to you. The only difference is, but I've just stated it with the court, there's nobody blocking it out. At least this way they can read it over and over again, and they can really, really know what you're thinking and feeling. And has had a good experience. In doing so, it helped them in their recovery process. It didn't make things all better, but it certainly made them feel better in the sense that they've actually been able to voice their abuser or their perpetrator and have some kind of closure in some kind of way that way. So there's goods and bads with this. It is your opportunity to express your truth, your feelings, and how life has been, how it's affected you while avoiding direct confrontation. Don't expect any positive feedback from people who you have hurt by doing so. It is only when you have completed the inner child work that forgiveness, hey, I'm saying that big word now, is possible. Maybe it is healthy and necessary to get angry, to feel whatever emotions that come up, and to adopt the role of empathetic observer to the inner child past and traumas. Excuse me. It is important to, one, remember, two, identify, and three, express the past, present feelings of sadness, anger, rage with a therapist or recovery friend or group. You must be able to trust this person we're telling our story, and they need simply listen and validate and not offer solutions and opinions. The listener's job is just that, a validator. So, you know, in my experience, having a really good listener was my best experience with this. And let me tell you, I've gone through this here quite a bit with you now already, and I'm telling you right off the bat, I've talked about this before, I know I have, but in the past, but I did not make that connection right off the bat. And I'll explain a little bit more about later on. There's a meditation we do, and I'm back to me, myself, and I. I certainly wasn't talking to my inner child, that's for sure. Okay. Objectives of the inner child healing. This is what we do at the Gatehouse, by the way. And this is our platform or program, if you want to call it that we follow, which we go over with the participants. And this is with both men and with women. And when we do one-on-ones, well, we'll pick bits and snippets out of our manuals or program manuals and we put it across. And all this, as I've stated before, everything we do here is cognitive-based therapy is what it is. And how this was all put together was all put together by therapists all by therapists. And people working in this field anyway that have got a lot of schooling and really know what they're doing. So this was a really, really well-developed program, and that's why I love talking about this. What makes me an expert on it is that I've done it more than a dozen times 2 dozen times, 3 dozen times, countless times now. And the more I do it, well, obviously, it's helped me in a lot of ways, but except for talking to that inner child. But I did make that connection, which I'll tell you about later on, and I'll even tell you a story about it. But I hear other people talking about how they make connection with their inner child, and they've done this and they've done that. I certainly cannot relate, but I can tell you some things, which I'm going to get to in just a bit. Objectives of the inner child healing. Number one, the objective is to uncover any dysfunctional, self-defeating beliefs that we have about ourselves and replace them with a more realistic, loving, supportive, and compassionate warmth. To place the responsibility of our abuse and mistreatment squarely on our abusers. Number two, grieving the pain and the loss and or the abuse from our childhood, adolescence, and clearly adulthood alone, an individual or group or therapy with a trusted others. You also need to tap into that anger and rage, which I briefly talked about. Paradoxically, expressing that anger, rage over time in a safe environment that helps you release it, leaving you feeling more relaxed and in peace. Number three, try to recapture what Lucia Cappuccino's book, Recovery of the Inner Child, by the way, if you look that up, Google it, or through Amazon, is a really, really good book, Recovery of Your Inner Child, describes that the childlike feelings, sensitivity, wonderment, and aliveness, basically, it is a recovery of our true self, shedding the phony mask we wear. So basically, we're just removing masks. But this is a really good book. I really recommend you guys to remember, Recovery of the Inner Child. And number four, to eventually feel like a child, but to think like an adult. And again, that's another book. If you Google, it's Milner, and it's from 1991, and who's the author of that. Okay. So consider these paradoxical statements when dealing with the inner child and past trauma. So just consider this. You must go back in order to move forward. A lot of sense in that, isn't there? Absolutely. I've done lots of that. Backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards. I feel like I was doing like a two-step dance. Some days it was like a 20-step dance because I would go so far forward and I fall so far back, I needed someone to pick me up and get me on the way again. You must grieve your past so that one day you will find a future happiness. Well, I would tend to agree with that because I spent a lot of years grieving my past, and where did it get me? Nowhere. But what it got me was being able to speak about it amongst some safe people, and that actually made me feel like I wasn't alone and made me feel a whole bunch of great things which I never thought possible. You must be angry and unforgiving in the short term to find forgiveness and peace in the long term. Healing your inner child requires TNT, time and tears, as I've been talking about. Take your time. Recovery is at your pace. Trust yourself and know that you're really needed. Okay, well, typically when we do this at the gatehouse, we do a meditation. I'm not going to do a meditation tonight because, one, I can't see you here in front of me and I don't know how you're going to react. So, rather, I'm not going to do that. The type of meditation we do, I can tell you we do this, and this connection or this type of meditation we do is a way of connecting with your inner child. And like I say, I'm not going to read it or do it because I'm doing it the way I'm talking to you tonight. I'd rather you do it in front of me, and so I can see and I know that you're safe. So I'm not going to do that. Further on, I'm going to move on. And in this meditation, I guess I should tell you a story right off the bat before I go any further. Excuse me. That when I did the meditation the first time, I did not have that connection. It was like, what? It was just plain what. I didn't, you know, I tried. I don't think it was the person that was doing the meditation did anything wrong. I just, because I ended up doing it again. And when I did it again, and this is a story I'm going to talk about before I go any further, is what happened to me was that I was able to make that connection. And I think the only difference was it was done under a different facilitator. I remember the facilitator was actually Kelly that did it. And she was in our original phase two facilitator. That was the one that was used to only be 8 weeks. Anyway, this lovely facilitator did the meditation with me, and I was able to go back to when I was a child. And when I was a child, it brought me back to, I used to go up to northern Quebec or Maniwaki, Quebec. My uncle had a, it was on the reserve, and it was on this lake. I can't remember the name of the lake now for the likes of me. You know, talk about having a good memory in there. I can't remember the lake, but I could find it quite easily. But this lake I went to, my uncle used to take to me, and we'd be the only boat on. That was the beautiful thing about this. We went to this lake, and one of the best fishing experiences I've ever had in my life, I swear. But just imagine a child. Here I'm with my uncle and my cousin Robert, and I throw my line out, and in this lake, I'm telling you, this is northern Quebec now, just think about it, it's northern Quebec, so there's big fish there. Throw my line out within 2 minutes, I mean 32 minutes, we just pull out, and we're just trolling behind the line behind the boat, and I catch one. And lo and behold, when I pull this darn thing in here, and what I got on the end of the line, and I'm fishing. We're not even using live bait. We're using what we call a red devil, and it's just a flashy lure with a hook on it. And I catch this fish, and it took me probably a good 15, 20 minutes to bring it in. And when I finally did bring it in, made a long story short, it was almost 3 feet long. It was a northern pike, and it weighed about 27 pounds, 26 between 26 and 27 pounds. And that was as big as me, for heaven's sakes. It was almost as tall as I was. I've never caught anything like that in my life. And for some reason, I don't know why I went back there, but I do know why I went back there in this story. It's because it was a good time for me, because I remember being a child and going there with my uncle and my cousin, and it was a safe place to go. It was a place I could go, and let me tell you, this cottage, when we were back where we were in this cottage, we didn't have no electricity. Everything we had was a candle, light, for example, wood stove. We cooked on a stove. Everything was all, we didn't have electricity. Leave it at that. But anyway, it was so far out of the way. It was so safe. All I had to worry about was bears going to the bathroom. And trust me, when I mean they had to worry about bears going to the bathroom, you had to worry about bears going to the bathroom. So when you were in the bathroom, you had to make sure the door was shut. Or you might have a big nose bear sticking his nose in there. Funny but true. And I remember even years ago too, many, many years ago, probably 40 years ago, 40 plus years ago now, almost 50 years ago, my uncle getting the female bear, she got killed. And she had three cubs. And I remember my uncle bringing them to the Gambie Zoo in Quebec. And that's where they were for years and years and years. So that was a pleasant memory. So that would have brought me back. And actually, I had tears when I did that. I wasn't, as I described, where I was in buckets. But I had tears. And I did actually make that connection. And after that, I've tried to do it a couple other times. And I did not make the same connection as I did that. I think what's going on now, as far as I'm concerned, is because I've been working on myself for a lot of years now. And I've got a long way. I know that. But for some reason, my inner child just doesn't seem to, I don't know, doesn't seem to want to let me be, I guess. It just lets me be, I should say. And it's all about just getting things done. And I don't know anything about that, why that happens that way, but that's what happens with me. I don't have that crazy connection I hear other people have with their inner child, where they're able to, you know, go back and talk to them and nurture them and that sort of thing. I've just never been able to do that. And I've never been able to figure out why. I had that one time. It was a good experience. It was probably a good thing that I did do that, because that's probably what propelled me to go for a little bit further in my healing journey. Because at that time, after I'd gone the first year, which I really don't share this whole lot with other people, I remember going, and I thought, okay, well, I've done this now. So what now? How am I supposed to do? I figured out all the stuff myself. I realized what I didn't realize was I still needed to go to work, is really what I figured out. And I figured, well, okay, I've gone, I did 5 weeks, I'm healed, I don't feel angry as much anymore, I don't feel the guilt. Well, really, I realized that what I'd done is I'd gone in there for the 15 weeks, and I figured out all these things, like guilt and anger, like I'm talking about, how it affected me. I just did not realize to the level how it affected me. So, well, I thought it was over one thing, actually. I really didn't realize that I had a whole bunch of luggage inside with a whole bunch of other crap. So I would go back and I do the 8 weeks of facilitator training, and then I started facilitating and doing what was done for me. So it put me, it helped me get that far, so I was able to do that. So and by doing so, it helped me with my healing journey. And from there, it escalated into a bunch of other things. Everything from advocating on Twitter, which I'm still doing after all these years, and doing my blog talk radio show, which I've done, which would be 5 years. So, and then all this personal healing, it allowed me to do many, many different things to help myself. And probably the biggest thing of anything that I could say that I really got out of this, as you can hear now, was my voice. You see, if I didn't have my voice, I wouldn't be here talking about this now. There's really not many people I know want to talk about this stuff, not, at least not at this level. There is more people talking about it now than there ever was before. It took a long time, and still be a lot more, I know, but nevertheless, folks, this is what growth is about. And yes, I have not made that perfect connection with my inner child, and yes, I did have a couple experiences where, well, good, bad, but nevertheless, I'm content with what I'm doing and where I am now, and I do not let this as described as being a really, really big deal in my journey. Yes, I made the connection. I hear others having much better connections than what I have, and really, I do not take that to heart. And I would recommend to you that if you had this experience where you've done the same thing that I have and you're talking about the same thing, really, I would try not to, really recommend you try not to take it on personally too much. You know, I can't honestly say how wrong. I can't honestly how you think or feel, but like I encourage you how I think. I know that it hasn't affected my life in any way, that it didn't stop me from still moving forward and doing my healing journey, what I'm trying to say. So, just because you have not made that connection with that inner child, do not let it stop you from moving forward. There's some of the other things you can do that may even help you to make that connection with that inner child. I talked about anger, I talked about guilt, just about the fears in general is what I'm saying. All the fears involved that may stop you or disallow you from, from making that connection. And I already don't take too much charge to it. I don't let it ruin my day that I haven't made that connection like I hear others talk about. But I do know that I did make that little connection at one time. In my story that I shared with you about going fishing as a child, and I remember it really good. In fact, I'm talking about it now, I could probably shed a tear or two just thinking about it because it was such a great time. And time was gone. But, well, yes, I can go back and go fishing again and pretend I was that child. But I don't look at it that way now, because if I went back out fishing now, I'd be the one running the damn boat. So I can't be a child running a boat, especially if I want to be safe getting back in shore. Some of the places I've gone and gone fishing and I'm using small boats, well, you really need to be paying attention what you're doing when you're out there fishing in those waters, because you have 3 and 4 foot swales come along and you're in a boat that's maybe 8 feet long. You really got to be careful. And when the wind's going nowhere, you really got to pay attention when you're going. So you don't want to be acting like a child. You want to be acting like a responsible adult and get your ass the hell out of there so you don't get, so you're not having to call the local police or the Coast Guard to come and pull you out of the water, provided you survive. Okay, enough of my fishing story. Let's move on. But nevertheless, it's necessary. I thought to speak about this, but nevertheless. Okay, moving on. Loving the wounded child within. Healing self through the inner child work. It is through having the courage and the willingness to revisit that emotional dark night of soul. That is our childhood. That we can start to understand on a gut level why we lived our lives the way we have. It is when we start understanding the cause of the effect of relationship between what happened to the inner child that we were and the effect it had on the adult we became, that we can truly start to forgive ourselves. It is only then we start to understand, that we start understanding on an emotional level, on a gut level, that we are powerless to do anything differently that we did, and really start to understand and loving ourselves. And remember that we were only a child, for heaven's sakes, when this happened to us. We all didn't forget about that. We were, I did. I was a child, so I took on all that blame. I couldn't stop the guy, or girl. They were only 100 pounds heavier than I was. I was just a kid, you know, going through adulthood and thinking, not even realizing I'm a teen, I was just a child. But think about it, really. You're powerless. You're a child. Codependency, the dance of the wounded soul. The hardest thing for any one of us to do is to have compassion for ourselves. As children felt responsible for doing those things that happened to us, we blame ourselves for all those things we've done to us and declarations we've suffered. There's nothing more powerful in this transformational process than being able to go back into that child that still exists within us today and say, it wasn't your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. You were just a kid. Hey, didn't I just say that? As long as we're judging and shaming ourselves, we're giving the power to the disease or to the offender. In this case, I would say to the offender, right? Because they're the ones that did it, and they're the ones that told us to shut up about it, so it is a disease, though. We are feeding the monster that is devouring us. We need to take responsibility without taking the blame. We need to own and honor our feelings without being a victim of them. We need to rescue and nurture our lover inner child and stop them from controlling our lives. Stop them from driving the bus. Children are not supposed to drive the bus. They're not supposed to be in control. We're bloody adults, for heaven's sakes. Inner child techniques. When we're reaching out, a role takes based on attitudes, beliefs, and or of false or distorted, our feelings cannot be trusted. When we're reacting out of our own childhood emotions or wounds, then what we are feeling may have very little to do with the situation we are in or with the people with whom we're dealing with in the moment. In order to start being in a moment in a healthy, age-appropriate way, it is necessary to heal our inner child. The inner child we need to heal is actually our inner children, who have been running our lives because we have unconsciously been reacting out to life out of emotional wounds and attitudes and old tapes from our childhoods. And it's absolutely right. Start paying attention to your inner child. It will no longer work to deny that our childhood wounds have affected us in our lives. Our emotional wounds have been dictated our lives and keeping us from loving ourselves. Because of our broken hearts, our emotional wounds, our scrambled minds, our subconscious programming, what a disease of codependency causes us to do is abandon ourselves. That's really what it does, is we've abandoned ourselves. So I think about all that self-loathing I used to do and self-worth I used to do, and that's what basically was all part of it. It causes the abandonment of self, abandonment of our own inner child, that the inner child is the gateway to our channel of our higher self. We have the age of the wounded inner child that relates to each stage of the development process. It is very important to start getting in touch with these parts of ourselves and building a loving relationship with each of them. One step at a time is the only way to go. And if you take those steps and you find that you fall back, like I described not long ago, but falling back on my ass, then you get somebody to help you get up there, you get up yourself, and you'll find you'll do 10 more steps again. It's back and forth like that. It's back and forth, back and forth. It was for me in my experience, and I've heard some other survivors that have gone through this experience. It's been like that. It's back and forth. You're dealing with these emotions, you know, it's not a quick fix. It's just not that simple, as I've stated from the beginning. It's a process you need to go through, and you need to go through step by step, whatever the hell is going on in your mind and what you're feeling and thinking. So be gentle on yourselves, please, folks. Anytime we have a strong emotional reaction to something or someone, when a button is pushed or there's a lot of energy attached to a lot of intensity, it means that there's old stuff involved. When one or our buttons are pushed, then an old wound is gouged. It is very important to honor that child's feelings without bonding into the illusion that matches the adult's matches the adult's reality. Is the inner child who feels panic and or terror, rage and hopelessness, not the adult? So what I'm saying kind of is that, let me give you a good example, Be something simple as going to the dentist, for example. Well, it's not that simple, but it's an example, nevertheless. And I know, well, maybe you had a bad experience where you don't want to go to the doctor, you don't trust them, but this just being an example of not going, being a child, not going to the, or rather being an adult and thinking like a child and not wanting to go to the dentist because you're scared. Never mind all the stuff, attachments around it, or actually, here's even a better one. That wasn't a great, oh, that was a good example, but not a great one. Here's a better one. Remember when you're beside the pool as an adult, and you want to take that jump in the water, but you're scared. Well, why are you scared? You've already been in the pool before, and you know what's going to happen when you go in there, yet you're scared to go in there. So that could be your inner child saying, no, I'm scared. I do not want to go in. Well, that's a kind of an example, I guess. But without adding too much to the conscious part of it about having this attachment or that attachment to it, it's just plain simple being a child and being scared is what I'm talking about. But as an adult, think about it as being an adult, though. We need to ask ourselves, how old am I feeling right now? And I listen for an intuitive answer. When I get the answer, we can track down why the child was feeling that way. It is not important to know the details of why the child was feeling that way, but it is important to honor the child's feelings, you know, are valid. Sometimes recovering some of those memories, and sometimes we don't, as I described for myself. The details are not important. Honoring the feelings is important. Trying to feel the details isn't necessary and can lead to false memories. What we feel is our emotional truth, and it does not necessarily have anything to do with the facts, especially when we are reaching out at any age at our inner child. We need to be loving parents who can hear the child's voice within. We need to learn by nurturing and loving the wounded parts of us. We can do that by actually working and developing our relationship with those wounded parts. So remember I was saying about picking out one at a time? Well, this is kind of what I'm telling you here, right, or reading to you here right now as well, is that the idea is you do one thing at a time. And I'll tell you why it's so good to do it that way, because if you don't, but this is what could potentially happen to you, as I've seen happen with others, is that you take on too much and you become you go into emotional overload, and then you fall back to where you were. So you're on your ass, and what could end up happening is you only need two people to pick you up, as a crazy example. But hopefully that's not the case. But that's what I'm saying is to go one piece at a time. The first step in opening the dialogue is actually to talk or write to a children inside us, to open communication in any way we can to those parts of ourselves in a loving way, which means also to stop calling ourselves names like stupid, or I'm not smart enough, or something along those lines. What we do is abusing our inner children. So basically what we're doing is we're just doing it all over again as an adult to our inner child. The right hand to the left hand writing, painting, drawing, music, making collages, taking the child to the toy store, etc. At first, the child will probably not trust you. Maybe that's what's going on with me. Maybe that's why the child just doesn't trust me, because I was just too crazy as an adult. I have no idea. But it certainly makes sense to me now when I'm thinking about it. For many good reasons, eventually we can start building trust building with ourselves or our inner child. We treat ourselves with one-tenth as much compassion as we would an abused puppy. We would love ourselves with much more than we've ever seen before. And I can relate to that. You know, I'm a sucker for dogs and cats. I see a puppy, man, I'm mush. Imagine, I'm a man saying this. But I love dogs. I love cats, too. But that's really the effect they have on me. What's most helpful is to nurture ourselves from a vantage point of loving the adult ourselves. From what one understands, delayed gratification, It is with a wounded child in us that wants to instant gratification. Well, so basically what I'm saying is, if you didn't get what I'm saying, is that if I was a child, I would want it immediately, and if I was an adult, well, I might be a little bit patient and realize that it just takes a little bit more time, but it'll happen. We need to set boundaries for the wounded part of us that wants to go unconscious or to indulge in things that are self-abusive in the long run. The way it works in practice like this is, I'm feeling fat. I judge myself for being fat. I shame myself for being fat. I beat myself, for being fat. Then I'm hurting so badly, I have to relieve myself from the pain. So to nurture myself, I'm going to eat a pizza and then judge myself for eating the pizza and perhaps cut myself and take some drugs. Well, that's really what could happen, right? And maybe you can relate. I sure as hell can relate, that's for sure. To the disease, this is a functional cycle. The shame begets itself into self-abuse, which begets itself into shame, which serves the purpose of the disease, which is to keep us separated, keep us separate so we don't see ourselves up to fail by believing that we're not worthy and lovable. Allow yourself to connect with the innocence of your inner child. Assure your inner child that of a safety at the present time. Help your inner child feel worthwhile, loved. Help the inner child make sense of the hurt. So, have you ever talked to yourself? That's kind of like what I'm talking about here now, as I just described here. So, you have a feeling coming up, you're going to stamp your feet because you're pissed off and something didn't happen. Well, if you slow down and talk to that inner child and say, okay, this is not really necessary. I'm about to act emotionally, irrationally, and behave like that child I'm just talking about. And I'm friggin' 40 years of age. And I'm not friggin' 7 years of age or 10 years of age. So that is possible to do that, speaking from experience. And I've seen that from others, too, as well as they've worked on themselves. That after they've worked on themselves in this manner, which I've been talking about this evening, that you can get past that. And you can make that conversation with that inner child, talking about, well, am I going to act? Who's driving the bus? And how is panel in the end? Well, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, if you react as I've just been describing, then, well, you'll probably feel like shit after it, but that's what is really the reality of it. That's what will happen if you let that go through like that. And from experience, I can relate to that quite easily because I've done it enough times myself in the past, so I can really, really relate. Talk in a caring and nurturing way to your inner child as you would talk to that child. Reflect on the innocence. From the beginning. Reflect on the innocence and the vulnerability of the child you know to be present, who was age you were at when you were hurt. Little more on recovering your inner child. Survivors of childhood sexual abuse, or CSA, are often conflicting feelings and opinions about the child that they were in the time of the abuse. The CSA survivor might be mad at the child I'm going to take a little drink here so I can slow this down a bit. Okay. So the CSA survivor might be mad at the child they were back at when they were not fighting back. Not running away not telling, they might not be feeling bad as a child because that caused the abuse and therefore is responsibility for the pain of being felt now as an adult. For many of these feelings end up internalized as anger or resentment or towards an inner child, representing a child or of childhood self. Some CSA survivors may have the feeling that their inner child self is someone else. They not enough themselves at a younger age and acknowledge that they are an adult version of a child who has experienced the abuse can be very scary. You did not go through this abuse as a child, and you survived. Reconnecting with and forging the healing of the inner child can be important as part of the healing from CSA. Healing the inner child can be very intense work, and it is recommended that you have a strong support system and be in a good place in your healing before starting. As I pointed out from the beginning, you are in therapy, consult with your therapist before beginning to do this work on your own. Reconnecting. You are both the field and the inner child. It is an important step for you to process and process in assessing how you feel about your inner child now. Are you angry at that child? Are you sad at that child? You may feel the child gullible and should be or have known better, or particularly if the abuse was repeating pattern, you may wonder why the child didn't simply tell, especially telling was meant for the positive reactions or to stop the abuse. Understand how you feel so you can have that focus on what you want to work on. It's kind of like what I was talking about in the beginning. You want to go in, you want to have a plan. Okay, well, when I did this originally, I went in, and I guess I had a plan. This was just part of the plan. This was my 15-week plan. But when I started doing this, and by the way, we do this for 3 weeks at the Gatehouse. So it's not just a one-week thing. We do a lot of things such as, well, we do the meditation that I talked about, as I just described, but we also do some other exercises, which I'm going to talk about a little bit further on. And one of the things we do, the exercises we do, is we bring in a child, a brother, we bring in a picture of us when we were a child. And what I mean by that is we bring it, if we can, we ask them to bring in a picture when they were a child before they were abused, and we ask them to bring in a picture after they were abused. And I've seen this exercise done many, many times, and I look at my pictures, even myself, and I have very, very few pictures of me as a child. That's another story in itself. But nevertheless, I've seen others come in, and I've seen the difference. And well, I look at mine, and I see it in my brother, but I don't see it in myself. But when I looked at others that have shared this experience, of which I'm talking about, which we asked them to do, they bring in the pictures, and you could see it. It's so plain. And I know through social media, I've seen this even on social media, where people have done the exact same thing, and they've showed themselves after this experience of childhood sexual abuse. And you look at their faces, and it's like, man, like, well, lost in space, if I can use that terminology. And that's really what it was. You know, from their experience, it's like they're deep, they're dark, and they're not even there. Like, I mean, like the smile is phony. It's like it's just put there. It's like, ooh, it's awful. That's really the fact of it. But this is an exercise we ask them to do, and this is part of self-reflection, which we ask them to do. It helps us. Actually, this is kind of like another tool that helps us reconnect with the inner child that we do. Children are naturally trusting, and most children are abused by people they should not be able to, they should be able to trust. Children also need affection, reassurance, unconditional love, strive to receive these better from adults and their lives. As an adult, it may be difficult to remember how a child thinks, but by reaching this understanding can help you understand why you acted and or reacted the way you did as a child and as an adult. You may have sustained repeated abuse, or even welcome an abuser's advances because you needed the attention, and the abuse was the only way the only thing you received. Remember, that's what it was for me. My abuse was the only thing I received as far as affection was concerned. I remember when I first started getting abused, it was my father, and it was his second wife, and not that the second wife didn't give us any affection, but I often felt my younger brother and I did not receive the affection that we probably could have had. And being boys is obviously different than being girls, because my father's second wife, well, she had two girls. So, well, imagine there's four kids. So, and I can understand, too, being in a big family, affection would be hard to get to because there's so many kids. So I also do get that as well. But I often felt that I thought that my younger brother and I did not get the affection that, well, we could have had as children, is my point. And therefore, that could have affected me in adulthood as well, to a certain degree. And actually, never mind, it could have. It probably did. To whatever level that it had, right? Your abuser may have said you were talking about lies and secrets. Excuse me. Your abuser may have said you were sharing a special that he was sharing a special secret, making you feel important and loved by your abuser. If your abuser threatened you and told you lies to keep you from disclosing your abuse, you probably believed that and said it was because you thought this was the person that you could trust and or someone you loved. Behaving this way does not mean that you were stupid or you should have known better. Remember, you were a child. It means that you were a child and there was no way you could have known any better. It really sounds that simple, but really, going through that experience and as an adult and the trauma that went behind it and that false belief, well, I can see that's a load of hogwash anyway now, or bullshit, because really it is. You know, you're groomed, and that's what you're groomed to do and believe and feel. And unfortunately, it carried with us into adulthood. Your abuser may have said to you, well, you know, the part that bothered me, I've heard this before too, is a special secret. What special secret? I'm thinking about it now, but I don't. What the hell are you talking about, a special secret? I think about it now. If I was to hear somebody say that, I'd probably pummel them. Just the fact that it sounds so, well, disgusting and vile to me now. But anyway, okay. Now I'm going to move on to another exercise that I'm going to share with you, which you might be able to do at home on yourself and try. And again, like I say, a lot of the stuff I'm talking about, I really hope you're around somebody that you trust and that you can share your experience and what you're feeling if you decide to go through with this. This is a really, really good exercise. Obviously, I said we didn't do the meditation, but this is a writing exercise. Actually, I'm going to give you two different writing exercises. I'm going to talk about one now, then I'm going to talk about forgiveness. Uh-oh, what did I just say? Forgiveness. And I'm talking about towards yourself, about your inner child. But let me just tell you about this writing exercise. I would recommend you try at home. So, when you're at home and you're bored, and instead of playing on social media, you could do this for yourself and help yourself. Take some time and write to your inner child and share how you feel about him or her. It is okay if you don't feel the love and the compassion of your inner child at this point. It's kind of like I described with myself, but still a good exercise nonetheless. You should simply strive to make a connection. If you feel up to it, try writing to yourself as your inner child, how does your inner child feel treated by your adult self? So it's quite a simple exercise. Once you feel that real connection to your inner child, have an understanding of how of the relationship you share, you can begin to work with that inner child and heal your relationship. So this is what I recommend you do now too when you're doing this exercise, is that when your child is writing to the adult, I recommend that you do it in your left hand. This is what we do at the gatehouse. We do it in our left hand. Oh, okay. It doesn't have to be your left hand, because what happens is your left hand. So do it in your non-dominant writing hand. And that would be your child's hand in writing. So think about it as a 5-year-old or 6-year-old or 7-year-old writing what their ability would be at that age. And that's how we look at it. And then with your dominant hand, writing to your child and try to find a connection. It's a really, really great exercise. I really recommend it if you can try it. And again, I would, if you can be around somebody trusted, or if you feel safe enough to do it yourself, by all means do it, but just be safe about it, folks. Forgiving. Now, remember, you're only a child. thought you knew it all. Or rather, thought you knew it, but we don't. Comprehending what it means to take time. You are only a child. This can be especially difficult for CSA survivors who felt responsible for and growing up as a child. You may have felt, you may have had to take care of yourself a good deal and acted on your own as your own parent. Perhaps even taking care of others in your family. So in other words, being a guardian to your siblings. You may have had to take good care of yourself and a good deal of acting on your own parents or past what's wrong with me. Okay, it may help to look at a photographer or at a photograph of yourself at a young age. This is what I was talking about earlier. Or at an age where you're being abused. and what you see in the photograph, how big you are. You are probably much too small to have to fight to have fought back. And what fears, what must this child have worried about in him or herself at the time? Realizing this can answer some of the questions that you have had from your childhood. So basically, what I kind of mumbled there. I didn't even explain this properly, but what I'm saying is, remember I was talking about the pictures? And basically, what I'm asking, what it says here is, which I don't know why I wrote this, I shouldn't have even read this, but and I did it jibber-jabberishly, but the exercise I'm talking about with the pictures, where the pictures, it's such a, well, I found it pretty profound. It did really, like I said, for my picture, I looked at it as a child and even going on. And actually, I have two pictures I have, and one of them, I know I was being abused at the time with my brother, which I kind of explained to you already, but I was, I remember too, because actually I didn't remember where it was. I remember it was here in Toronto. I was with my aunt's place, and we're at a pool. And this was in a very, very, this was like 1971. It was 1971 or, yeah, it would be 1971 or 1970. And we're by our pool. And I remember, because that was when Sesame Street started, somewhere around that time, because Sesame Street was around that. I remember my younger brother and I, we had these little puppets in our hands. And they were Grover and Cookie Monster. How ironic is that? Okay, move fast track here to moving on what I'm talking about. I'm going to look at another picture of myself, which I've never showed anybody, which I have bought, put away. And when I was in, I was an air cadet. And I think that's the only picture where you can see where I, obviously a lot older than 7 years of age, but you can obviously see in my eyes and in my face and my phony smile that I was hiding something. And in that picture, I remember, because my younger brother and I, we were both in the same squad, and we were both in the same place. And that picture, I remember, there was only one where you could see where I had that, where I described what happened, having that look in your face where you're lost. And that's the one picture. But it's funny, but the first picture I talked about, I see my brother is so apparent in his picture. Oh my gosh, it's so apparent in his picture. And it's really hard to look at those pictures nowadays, that picture nowadays. Especially my younger brother, and knowing that, especially that he's gone now, but nonetheless, it's very, very hard to see that when I'm looking at that, knowing that was going on with him as well. So, I can't really say too much more. I'm going to go on a little bit more about this. Okay, let me talk about the other exercise, and then I'm going to read a few more things off, and then we're going to call tonight. The other writing exercise I've talked about is expressing forgiveness. Try writing a letter to your inner child so you can express the sadness you feel towards the loss of your childhood innocence. If you are angry with your inner child, you can share your feelings of forgiveness. You may want to apologize to your inner child for being so hard on him or her. You can your inner child forgive your adult self? Well, that's a really, really good question. How does your inner child feel about at this point? He or she may feel very alone and scared. Hopefully, you feel true bond of growing between your adult self and your inner child. What sort of relationship do you hope to have between your inner child and your adult self? These are questions you ask yourself by doing this exercise, this writing exercise. Once you have a goal, you can work towards healing the broken bond and build a relationship. So that's an exercise, again, I would recommend you try. It'll help you, well, find things about yourself, or at least that connection you have with your inner child. Once you can accept that inner child self is really just a child, you can remember what it was like to be a child. It may be difficult to remember that life back then, especially if childhood is several decades behind you, as it is for myself, and you will undoubtedly recall the painful memories. Many CAA survivors grew up in tumultuous family environments, and the abuse experienced firsthand wasn't the only problem in life. There may have been fighting or substance abuse or other family issues going on in addition to your abuse at the time. The abuse have seemed minimal or compared to these and other issues. It may be painful, but you can remember how you generally felt as a child. You were scared, anxious. You can remember what you did to cope back then. You know, what soothed you or comforted you when you were experiencing those feelings. This child had no one to comfort him or her. No one to share the secret problems with. No one to understand. The child felt perfectly alone. You can see the child acted in the way she did back then, as I described about myself to earlier. These were reasons, these were coping mechanisms you developed. Some of them may have helped you now, and some of them may hinder your life. But none of them were your fault. You can forgive this child. Someone who has wounded the inner child may describe themselves as not feeling in control of their life. They, in fact, feel their inner child as behind the wheel of this child feels hurt. They can lead you to do things that you may feel unable to control or understand. You need to learn how to parent your inner child, perhaps being a parent that you never had growing up. You know, again, it's stuff I've talked about. So learning to parent your inner child is kind of like what I'm talking about with that writing exercise. So that writing exercise will help you to parent that child to whatever degree that you're capable of doing so. And another thing you're going to talk about doing, what you're going to be doing by doing this exercise, it'll help you with trust. Earn trust. Because I know this child of mine, you know, or this adult child of mine, whatever I am, did not trust anybody for the longest time. And I still have trust issues to a degree, but nothing like I used to have. I assure you. Hopefully by now, your inner child can trust your adult self. Something to help build this trust in your adult self ability is to be a good parent to your inner child, is to list the things you can do now that you couldn't do as a child. You can also list what you can do now to protect and comfort the inner child that wasn't done in your childhood. Tell your inner child all about the things you can do now. You are quite, you are quite impressive and surely capable of being a good parent. To maintain this trust, to be honest with your inner child, is a parenting role. So by doing these things, well, you're basically doing what you didn't do as a child, or maybe you didn't receive as a child. So you can still do this as an adult, is what I'm saying. You can go back and you can rekindle that connection that you never had. It is definitely possible. You know, I'm talking about this, and I gave you a small example of what could be done. And I've heard others give much greater examples of having a much better connection after doing these exercises or doing other things. I mean, I'm just giving you some examples of what you could do to make that connection, is what we do at the Gatehouse. But there's other things you can do, I'm sure, by talking to your therapist, that there's other things that can help you in that process. Learning to parent. Through it may not seem like it at first, but good parenting comes from a good discipline. Good discipline is nurturing discipline. Not painful, not demeaning, or hurtful discipline. Without discipline, an inner child has no rules to live by. Remembering the discipline isn't just a list of things to do, it is a set of rules to live by. Bradshaw listed as the rules to teach your inner child, as I talked about earlier. It is okay to feel what you feel. Okay, these are key points that you can remember. One, it's okay to feel what you feel. Number two, it's okay to want what you want. Number three, it's okay to see and hear what you see and hear. It's okay and it's necessary to have lots of fun to play. It is essential to tell the truth all the time. It's important to know your limits and delay gratification some of the time. It's crucial to stop and develop a balanced sense of responsibility. Number 8, it's okay to make mistakes. Number 9, other people's feelings and needs and wants are to be respected and valued. Number 10, it's okay to have problems. Hopefully with these rules, you can learn to let your inner child and adult self be whoever they are. True, you may have upheld a role growing up. Whether you were the perfect child, the problem child, or any child between, you don't need to act out the role anymore. You can quickly be your wonderful self. Keeping your inner child safe. Truly now, you're a good parent to your inner child. There are still other things that you may need, that you may be threatened by your inner child's sense of safety. Even something like seeing a child who's at the age when you were being abused. Just by being an innocent child, you can hurt your inner child. When things happen, you need to remember and give special attention to your inner child. Ask how they're doing, what they're feeling. Have an honest dialogue and work through these things if you can, using your parent-child relationship, as I've been talking about from the beginning. So what we're doing is we're building up a relationship here. These points I'm talking about now, we're building up a relationship with a child. Being a kid again. Hell no, I'm having too much fun being an adult. If any child asks what is his or her favorite thing to do, they'll almost always involve playtime, of course. It is important to give your inner child playtime. It can be a form of night out with friends, big friends, by the way, playing a video game, or even getting out a coloring book with crayons, which they have for adults now. Don't deny yourself any time of playing or rejuvenation. It can remain, if you can remember, your favorite playtime activity as a child. Try that out, or try something you've always wanted to do, but were never able to do. Go to the toy store, buy inner child toy or something like that, or sleep with a stuffed animal, or simply be kind, simply be a kid again. Now, in making reference to what I'm talking about, I've done this myself. I know that when I finished at the gatehouse the first time, I got this beautiful brown teddy bear. That was nice. I kept it with me the longest time. Still have it, of course, too, as well. And I can certainly relate to going to places like Toys R Us and buying, you know what, this is the big kid in me, which I don't admit too often, but I love going in, and what I do is I've hosted a lot of parties in the past, and I've done things where I've done parties, and where sometimes there's kids involved, so I've got to go and buy games for them to play. And there's nothing like trying out games even before we even set them up for the kids and the adults. And being able to go back and do that, that was so much fun, and still do to this day. Now, what we're doing, we're moving right along here now. Remember, the stuff we're covering here that I've talked about, we do over a period of 3 weeks. I do not expect you to do it over a period of, I have 2 hours to talk about this. We have 2 hours at the gatehouse once a week when we talk about this stuff. So, if you're imagining this over a period of 6 hours, I'm talking about it in 2 hours. Not even 2 hours. Now, I'm going to ask you, or rather, I'm not going to ask you, I'm going to talk about an affirmation exercise that we do. And this is what we do in personal affirmations. Remember to tell your inner child how happy you are to have him or her back in your life. Make a list of things you like to do best with your inner child and the reasons you are glad to have them and her around. And support them if you wish. You can also write affirmations from your inner child to your adult, including the reasons why he or she is glad to have you as a parent. In a safe, quiet, relaxing setting, imagine the adult you were now sitting down with and talking to you as a child, and imagine the person or the time you were abused. Say each statement out loud, the sexual abuse was not your fault. So, I'm giving you an example of what we do in the house. If you come back and you can replay this part here, but if you're feeling we're talking about self-affirmations. So this is what we could potentially say to ourselves. There's other ones you can use as well, but I'm going to just give you examples. You are valuable and a good person. You do not deserve what happened. You are not bad because what happened. Your feelings and responses during the abuse were normal. Your sexual energy is good and you're separate from the abuse. You're a strong woman or you're a strong man. You can share your pain with others and it will go away. You are not alone anymore. So these affirmations you can say to yourself. As an example, maybe you have some others yourself that you already say to yourself, or you think of some. Be aware of your responses to each statement. Are some statements that are easier to take than others? Well, yes. I read through them, and to be honest with you, I really don't say any of these to myself. I probably do other ways of affirming my connection with myself, but I don't do these things, but I know others that have. I've tried them and it just didn't work for me. But I know others that have and it works very, very well. Be aware of response to each statement. So there are some statements that are easier to take than others, as I pointed out. You may want to repeat each statement several times in one sitting. This exercise can be adapted so that your inner child can repeat each statement as well. Thus, after you say, the abuse was not your fault, the inner child can respond with, the abuse was not my fault, and so on in each statement. You also want to do an exercise while looking into the mirror. This exercise is an excellent daily exercise. Again, this is an exercise that really does not work for me. I can't say it wouldn't work for you, but for me, I could not look in the mirror in the morning and say those things to myself. I just could not do that. I know the people that write self-affirmations, they put them on their mirrors, they put them on here and there. It just can't do it. Actually, the best way to describe it myself in regards to self-affirmations are concerned, I always say, rather than writing it on the board or putting it in front of me, I just do it, right? And that seemed to have a better effect on me. And again, this may not work for you, but it worked for me. I think that I have pretty much covered it all. So I just basically gave you 3 weeks and 2 hours of what we do, other than I did not give you a meditation, which we do. And I really hope, folks, you got something out of this tonight. The reason why I went on this tonight is as I've returned now back from the Christmas holidays, through the holidays, on Twitter, as an example, because that's usually where I hang out for my social media, there's been so much conversation about inner child, and I've heard so many different stories. And believe me, you guys, any of you that are listening that follow me on Twitter and that I did the sharing, thank you ever so much for your sharing. You guys are brave warriors to me, really, really brave. You guys are amazing. The sharing that goes on there is just incredible. There's so much healing and love going on there and compassion and empathy going on towards one another there. It's just really, really mind-blowing. And it's great to see because, you know, I look at other people, I see other people on social media and realize that, you know, never mind just realize, but, I mean, it's a fact that there's not support out there for everybody. You know, depending where you live, depending on what country you are, you know, your rules are different, or there's just not people there to deal with this, right? So, whatever circumstances may be, you may not have the help that you're seeking just for support to get you through the day or the night or the week or the year or the month. You know, and it's so nice to go out there, or rather go on Twitter, for example, and to see all that support and connection that's there. So the folks that know me that have listened, that are listening now or maybe listening later on in the future to this program that I just did tonight, I just want to say thank you. And you know you're not alone, you're not alone. You're just not alone. And there's lots of us out there that are supporting one another. And if you have the means of social media as your only form of support, well, I know years ago I didn't have that, and I know many others didn't have that now. Didn't have that either. So I think social media is a great platform for getting support when you don't have any other support, especially in your community and abroad. It's really, really good because I know I never had anyone to talk to about this 20 years ago. Never mind social media, but anyone to talk about it. Now I have so many people to talk about it with. I have more support than I could ever possibly muster, if I can use that terminology. But it's there. And if I didn't have it at the gatehouse, I could certainly get it on social media. Granted, I can't get everything, but I can get an awful lot of support that would certainly make my day better, get me through the night so I could talk to somebody the following day. Folks, I'm going to call it tonight. If I've triggered you in any way whatsoever, call 24-hour hotline. If you're in the U.S., call Rain or somebody somebody that can give you some kind of support. You're not alone. Go to social media if you're listening. There's plenty of us out there we're talking by text, you know what I mean? They will give you support. You're not alone. But what I'm saying is, folks, take care of yourself. Again, I say, if I've triggered you in any way, seek out, talk to somebody. You're not alone. And we're approaching the weekend, and wow, I just realized, you know what? I went outside before I came in, and I looked at my thermometer, and it's minus 15. So in minus 15, that would be almost zero Fahrenheit. And with the wind, it's even colder than that. It's snowing out. It's winter. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, that's supposed to be something I'm not too sure, but it's winter time, and I will be back next week with a new choice of topic. I won't be coming back talking about inner child, because I will be talking about that with my group next week, with the group I'm doing next week, and I will have something new and fresh to talk about. So, folks, have a wonderful weekend. My name is Stuart Thompson. I'm not broadcasting live from the gatehouse. I'm actually at home right now, very comfortable. And folks, have a wonderful night, a wonderful weekend. I will be back. And most importantly, folks, take care of yourselves. Have a good night.